Today on Treasuring Mothers, I'm speaking with Catherine Sylvester, who lives in the North Island of New Zealand, not far from Auckland. It's great to have you on the show today, Catherine.
Thanks for having me on, Jenny.
Now, we talked a little while ago about some of the fertility issues that you went through and how it was a real struggle to have kids. But you've now got two children, which is great and so exciting. So congratulations getting through that part of your life. We all have challenges as mothers. And while we've suddenly realised we wake up one day and think it's not the fairy tale, what was it like for you after having children? What are some of your challenges that you faced?
One of the biggest challenges I think I faced was feeling lonely and isolated and also mind-numbingly bored some days. And I've said that to mums and they're like, yes, like, love our children, especially when they're really little. And, you know, it's not great conversations you're having and yet your whole world really has to revolve around them and their sleep and their food or whatever. There's some really long, lonely days. I found that because we'd had such difficulty getting and staying pregnant, I would let no one near my oldest child as well. You know, motherhood was hard fought for and hard won with all the miscarriages, that once I had her, I was like, no one's touching her. Like, I had some control issues. I'm like, I'll look after her. So, I mean, I made a rod for my own back, I think, a little bit. We moved to London when she was 14 months old and I was 16 weeks pregnant with our second daughter, and we were there for 2 years. And had an amazing community of friends there, even though we had no family support, and my husband was away 4 days a week. He's a long-haul flight attendant. Had a really awesome community of friends with kids a similar age. But when we came back to New Zealand, my mum had cancer, and I just unraveled. Over a period of 2 years, I just completely unraveled. I was incredibly depressed, self-medicating with like sugar and energy drinks, which of course create havoc in your body. I found no joy in anything. I found every day a real struggle. And then I mentioned last time I got diagnosed with ADD at 40, and that had presented problems in that, you know, I really struggled to be organized and to, it would take me 2 hours to pack a bag for us all to go away for the weekend because if I got interrupted, I'd be like, oh, I'll go off in that direction. And my thoughts were incredibly scattered. At the end, before I kind of got real help, I had about 3 weeks where I had severe panic attacks every day. I thought I was going crazy and I never thought of killing myself, but there were times where I was like, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to get in the car and go because I'm so useless. I'm so not the mother these girls need. And I had deep, deep grief that of the 2 years of their lives I missed. And I would express that and people would say to me, no, but look, they're great, they're happy, they're healthy. And I'm like, I don't mean them, I mean what I missed. Like, I can see they're happy and healthy because I absorbed all that pain, but I missed 2 years of their life.
So is that because you feel like you missed that because you were depressed? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I just felt like literally every day was just get through. There was no joy. I just wanted to sleep. And then the irony was at night I had insomnia and I just ate and ate and ate sugar. I've seen videos of myself at the time. I feel really sad. I just know how, oh gosh, it's emotional. Talk about, it was so hard. Mm. Scariest time of my life, hardest time of my life. And it coincided, you know, with my kids being like 1 and 3 years old for 2 years.
So was that triggered by coming back to New Zealand or what happened? Do you know?
Well, I always would have had the ADD. It's really common for women not to get diagnosed till 30 or 40 or 30 to 40 when they have kids. You know, when you suddenly have to be organised and in routine and in the mundane. I mean, before that I was like, hey, I'll move to LA and I'd go 5 days later, or oh yeah, I'll do that, move to Wellington and do a job. Like, very, get my dopamine up in some way. Whereas with kids, it's very routine to a degree, you know, but compared to what my life was like. I think it was just a convergence of all sorts of things. Moving away from my support system, my mum was incredibly sick, my husband was away a lot, and my kids started talking. I know that sounds a really weird thing, but before that I had thinking space and I'd think, I need to do this and I need to do that. But then it was like, they're talking to me while I'm trying to think and I couldn't do the two things at once. And then
I know.
Where are they? And then my friend would come over and try to talk to me, but I'm like, are they safe? And the static in my head was crazy. And so I just wanted to shut down. And of course, eating a lot of sugar and caffeine, my adrenals were just constantly crashing. And that all just blew up in anxiety and panic attacks.
Then you ended up getting good advice from a doctor that made all the difference. Is that what happened?
Yeah. I finally got diagnosed because it thought it was depression, but the antidepressants wasn't working. So they changed medication. That helped me immensely. And then I started addressing my health. Then I was like, okay, I don't need to eat sugar. It was at the beginning of that whole green, clean eating movement, you know, that most of us know about now. But I really got into that and into, I've been given heaps of antibiotics as a kid. So I looked at healing my gut, like the second brain. And just slowly over time, we moved to a coastal area that was less busy and we had a bit more space and I could take the kids to the beach and they started school. And so just slowly over time, was able to start healing myself, my brain and my body. And I think back now, I mean, I was just in a state of perpetual electricity is the best way to think. My brain was constantly going, my body was revving off sugar. Everything was just high wired and so eventually everything crashes. So it was just a slow, really slow, gentle process. A lot of, I spoke to counselors, did a lot of writing, just to work through like deep grief that I had about my mum and about missing that time with my kids. And
so your mum died in the middle of all that or towards the end of that time?
It was about a year after we moved that she died. She lived a lot longer than they had thought and she was all for us moving. They weren't far away, so we could still, you know, go and see them. And then straight after that, my husband had to be back in Auckland for work 5 days a week. He was gone for 9 months. 5 days a week. It's been stretching. It's amazing what we can stretch to when we need to, though.
Yeah, it is amazing. And yet at the same time, you look back and you go, how on earth did I do that?
Oh, and what toll did it take, you know?
Yeah, that's right. But also interesting that you actually took steps to move out of it. So you did have those discussions with your doctor. You did move locations. You did actively write things down. So I guess what I'm seeing from that is that if people feel like they're stuck in where they are and it's all horrible, there's always something that you can do to alter or make a plan or aim for to change the situation that you're in somehow. There's always something you can do.
Absolutely. And I'm not simplifying this because the medication was huge for me. Nutrition, when I started giving my body some really great nutrition and a lot of supplements and I suddenly started to function again because it was like a car I'd run dry and I needed some really good stuff in it. And I think as mothers, we're looking after everyone else. And I mean, my kids ate fantastic through then. I was shocking, you know, but once I started going, no, I actually really need to eat well and I need them to watch TV for 2 hours so I can sleep or I can read a book and I will not feel guilty anymore because I am a better mother if I do that. Or if someone offers to take them for a half a day, yes, not that that's ever happened much, but yes, because I'm a better mother for it.
Yes, that's right. And a lot of people get that space by having jobs and doing other things outside the home. And that's good for some people, but it's not necessarily how it works for everyone. So, yeah, there's all sorts of different solutions to these problems, I think. And we've just got to look outside the box sometimes and see what else is around that you can do.
And I really wanted an easy fix. I really wanted someone to wave the wand and just make it better. Or it was slow and it's been 5 steps forward and 2 steps back and I was really sick earlier this year and I've sort of had to, all the antibiotics mucked me around again, so I've had to go back into that place and, oh, okay, I can't do as much right now. And I'm a 45 and a half year old mother of an 8 and a 9 year old and they are busy and I am not. I get tired. So I think you've got to give yourself permission. I can't compare myself to my friends who are 28 with two kids. Like we've got different energy levels, different hormones. Like let's talk about hormones. And just got to run your race in your lane and not feel guilty all the time if you aren't doing 100 amazing things every single day. Sometimes you need it. You need them to just be safe watching TV because they're safe there, right? You know, if they're little. And just do what you need to do.
Thanks so much, Catherine. Good to talk to you today. And let's catch up again sometime soon.
Thanks, Jenny.
Okay, thanks, Catherine. Don't forget you can listen to more great podcasts at treasuringmothers.com. This is Jenny Baxter saying goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to Treasuring Mothers. Be sure to visit treasuringmothers.com to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content.